The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Folks, welcome to the Eric Metaxas Show, sponsored by Legacy Precious Metals. There's never been a better time to invest in precious metals. Visit LegacyPMInvestments.com. That's LegacyPMInvestments.com.
Welcome to the Eric Metaxas Show with your host, Eric Metaxas.
Hey, folks. Welcome. By the way, I keep forgetting, and Albin keeps forgetting to remind me to say that the announcer, the new announcer who announces this program, I know everybody wonders, is he constipated? And the answer is obviously. Who would talk like that if they weren't constipated? So let me just be clear. You know, at the time that we did that recording, he was having some GI issues. We decided to go ahead with it. But I just want you to know that we all know that there it sounds that way. Okay, now, guess what? I get to talk to my friend, Ken Fish. Ken Fish, welcome to the studio.
Thanks, Eric. It's great to be back again.
You're not just on the program. You're in the studio me, breathing the same oxygen.
It's not Zoom.
All right, so I always ask you the same kind of softball question when we get together. Hey, what's new? Before I do that, I don't want to assume everybody tuning into the program knows who you are and what you do. So let me see if I can describe you, and then you can help me clarify. You were a quantum physics major at Princeton University, and you then got involved in – what do we call it? Healing ministry. You stumbled into John Wimber's church in California with your mom, who was very ill at the time. And you told that story last time we were together. We didn't need to get into that. But the point is, you saw insane, miraculous healing, and you decided you wanted to get involved in that. You have been involved in that. You've had a business career. But you are now full-time traveling the world, literally, under the aegis of Orbis Ministries, and Orbis is O-R-B-I-S, orbisministries.org, and you preside over what we call meetings, gatherings, where you pray for people, and stuff happens. And I've been there, and you wouldn't be here if I didn't know this was real and true, and that you are an authentic person. So what can we add to that before we get into the details of what you've been doing lately?
I guess I'd just say, even though it may sound like I've lost my mind, I try to present myself as a rational, insane human being, but who happens to love God. And I've been privileged, I would say, to see all the miracles of the Bible, essentially. I mean, there might be one or two. I don't know that I've ever seen the sun go backward in the sky, but...
Oh, I saw that.
Okay. So, but I think sometimes there is this thing, it's called the credibility gap. When you start telling stories about these kinds of things, people are like, are you for real? Nobody lives this way.
Yeah.
And some of my friends have said to me, you know, I don't know anybody who has a life like you have, but, you know, they come along to meetings and things. And my college roommate from Princeton, he's one of those. Initially, he was kind of like, but he was raised as a Christian guy, but I would say of a different stripe of Christianity. And these days he comes to every meeting of mine that he can come to, subject to what his wife will let him do. And when I'm in New York, he typically comes to my meetings in New York. He'll be at the meetings I'm going to be doing this weekend. And, you know, he's all in now.
Right.
So, you know, this stuff, I always like to say real miracles, real healings, they withstand scrutiny.
Yeah.
You can look at them from any angle. You can get a doctor in there. You can put people in an MRI or a CAT scan, whatever it takes, chemical assays, cancer tests, whatever it is. If it's real, you'll know.
Well, but it's so funny, too, because whenever you're talking about stuff like this in the culture in which we live, you always have to kind of like haul out the stupid credentials like Ken was a quantum physics major at Princeton and Eric went to Yale University. And who cares? Because there are a lot of idiots that went to those colleges. But when we process information, I mean, I'm very big on this. I think about this all the time. That's kind of how we often process information.
We do that. We do that with everything. And, you know, in the world of media and publications, you would know this, but for our listeners, it's called credibility markers, right?
Right.
Why should I listen to this person?
If you were wearing a Chick-fil-A T-shirt right now instead of a jacket and tie, people would get a whole different view of you.
Right.
Now, look, it's not like there's nothing to that. Of course, we all judge things. We look at things. You know, you're trying to figure things out quickly on the fly. But when it comes to issues of miracles and healings and, God forbid, deliverance from the demonic, there are many people, including most Christians, who just tune out. They become uncomfortable and they say, well, yeah, I saw some really weird stuff when I was a teenager and I just avoid it now. They've ceased to be able to look at it rationally.
That's correct.
And they're afraid of it. But we find this in most mainline churches. In other words, when I think about the churches across this country today, churches that I might speak at or I might have spoken at, whatever, many of them are so wary of this. And I think it starts with bad teaching, bad exegesis, that they are biblically mistaken. It's very simple. I just read the other day a dear, dear friend gave me a copy of John MacArthur's Systematic Theology.
Mm-hmm.
And you think, what kind of a friend would saddle you with a book like that? but in all seriousness, I love John MacArthur, and I really love my friend dearly. And I thought, this is interesting. Let me see what MacArthur says about healing, deliverance, miracles, that kind of a thing. So, of course, I turned right to that. And it was interesting because he really didn't have much to say. Like, you'd get the impression that he has this welter of evidence and arguments, and it was actually pretty thin.
Right.
And yet he is known for standing very strongly, even harshly, against Bethel Church in Reading or Mike Bickle's IHOP, and he stands against that as though we know this is demonic and in error. And I so respect John MacArthur, but nonetheless, he doesn't understand this, and he is teaching rafts of people to avoid this stuff. And
right.
And forgive me for the extraordinarily lengthy preamble, but I guess the reason I say all this is because I think I know people who are hurting. I know people who need this kind of help, and the idea that they can't get it, or even that they're being told, don't even try to get it, is scandalous. I believe Jesus wants people to get freedom from all kinds of things. It doesn't happen every time. I've seen you pray for people and nothing happens, and I've seen you pray for people and stuff happens. And so this is not some magic bullet. It's not easy. But the idea that we're living in a world where you and I have to, you know, just create this foundation of preamble before we can even talk about this stuff. But I do that out of respect to people who are not where we are, who haven't seen what we've seen.
Right. That's exactly right. You know, one of the things that I think really needs to be brought into this conversation is a passage of Scripture that occurs twice in the Gospels. The first one that I think of, and it's the same story, Matthew 22, verse 29, and it has a parallel, I believe it's in Mark 12:40. I could be off on the second address, but the first one I know is right, Matthew 22:29. But it's the same story. The Sadducees, who didn't even believe that there were angels or the resurrection, come to Jesus, and they come up with a story. I think it might actually have been a real story because they say there was one among us. But, you know, they have this thing called levirate marriage, where if a man dies, his brother's supposed to marry the now widowed woman and have children. So they have this thing of seven of them died. And so whose wife will she be in the resurrection, which they don't believe in? and they're trying to trap Jesus. And Jesus gives them an answer that I don't think they were expecting, but it very much applies to the modern mentality of the church. He said, you err for two reasons. I'm unpacking it in modern English.
Yeah.
It's a little more compact in the scripture. But he says, you err for two reasons. The first is you don't really know the scriptures. Now, these are Sadducees. I mean, this is what they do for a living. So they're reading it without comprehending it is what he's really saying.
Yeah.
And you don't know the power of God. And I think in our time, there are many things that people don't know about the scriptures. A, many people don't read the Bible these days. It's just pretty much passed out of common knowledge. And even in churches, the sort of go-to model of preaching is we pull out a verse or two and we say something inspirational, but we don't have anything with real meat.
Okay, this is where we're going to just hit pause. We'll be right back. Much more with Ken Fish, the Eric Metaxas Show. Hey, folks, I've got to tell you a secret about Relief Factor that the father-son owners, Pete and Seth Talbot, have never made a big deal about, but I think it is a big deal. I really do. They sell the three-week quick start pack for just $19.95 to anyone struggling from pain like neck, shoulder, back, hip, or knee pain, $19.95, about a dollar a day. But what they haven't broadcasted much is that every time they sell a three-week quick start, they lose money. In fact, they don't even break even until about 4 to 5 months after if you keep ordering it. Friends, that's huge. People don't keep ordering Relief Factor month after month if it doesn't work. So yes, Pete and Seth are literally on a mission to help as many people as possible deal with their pain. They really do put their money where their mouths are. So if you're in pain from exercise or even just getting older, order the three-week quick start for $19.95. Let's see if we can get you out of pain too. Go to relieffactor.com, relieffactor.com, or call 800-500-8384, 800-500-8384, relieffactor.com. I use it. It works.
Hey, folks, if you could make money off of abortion or pornography, would you do it? I hope the answer is no. But I want to tell you, Robert Netsley, the founder of InspireInsight.com, he was the president of his local pro-life pregnancy center when he discovered that he owned investments in three companies manufacturing abortion drugs. Well, God helped him to see that he was making money from abortion, pornography, LGBT activism, and the list goes on. And that's why he created InspireInsight.com. InspireInsight.com gives you instant access to biblical values data on over 23,000 stocks, mutual funds, and ETFs so you can invest to the glory of God. You need to go to InspireInsight.com today and screen your 401ks, IRAs, and other investment accounts. I did, and I was shocked. Now I'm able to clean out the junk and invest in companies actually doing good things. Go to InspireInsight.com today and register for free. That's InspireInsight.com. Go there.
We were young. Hey, folks, I'm talking to my friend Ken Fish. It's so easy to spell. Ken Fish. OrbisMinistries.org. That's more difficult. Orbis, O-R-B-I-S, Ministries.org. Okay, Ken, you just made an important point. I want you to go back and talk about this. You said that in Matthew 22, verse 29, Jesus is confronted by the Sadducees, and they're playing a head game with him. They're trying to trap him and stuff. But it's also interesting. It's not just that. I think that they're doing what we all do. We want to get to the meat of something. We want to understand what is really going on here. So they ask him this tough question because they think it's going to force him to give an answer, right? But instead he replies and he says, A, you don't know the scriptures, which is shocking.
Right.
But the B part, what's the B part?
You don't know the power of God.
Okay, what does he mean when he's talking to the Sadducees and he says, you don't know the power of God?
Yeah, so, you know, we have this language that has been around in religious discourse, at least Western religious discourse, for centuries about the letter and the spirit. And, you know, there are a lot of people that know they may know the letter of what's in the Bible. They may know the literal verbiage, but they don't understand the power of the spirit, which is more than just what's the spirit behind it. What's the ethos behind it? It's more than that. There is this thing called the ethos. What's the sense of it? But But when we talk about this, we're also talking about the dynamic, living, active, manifest power of God. Now, I picked four adjectives to try and define what I'm really saying. And when you see the power of God moving, it's observable. You know, Paul said, my message and my preaching didn't come with words of wisdom, in brackets, alone,
right,
but with a demonstration of the Spirit and of power, in order that your faith would not rest on the wisdom of men, but on the power of God. So God's intention is to show his power, and with that, to give a living testimony of himself in the earth. I don't know how to say it more clearly than that. And where we see that on display is with miracles, with healings. All of these things are what theologically we call attesting signs or attesting miracles. And when they happen, they cause people to stop and say, wait a minute, I thought I understood something about God, but this breaks my paradigm. This reframes reality for me. And so Jesus is saying to the Sadducees in that passage in Matthew, and it's parallel in Mark, he's saying, you're making this mistake that you're asking because of these twin issues. One, you don't really know the scriptures. You know the letter of the scripture, but you don't understand the ethos of it, that sense of the Spirit. And you also don't know God's power, because you live in a world where you deny that there is such a thing as angels or resurrection or, you know, whatever. And so if you don't know God's power, how can you possibly come to the right answer? And so many of the problems that we deal with, at least in the world that I function in, is, you know, people come and they have issues that are not readily solvable through the conventional means of modernity, which would include medical science, psychology, and other things like that. And frequently when we pray for people, because of God's dynamic, overt, manifest, tangible power that comes upon them, sometimes their bodies shake, sometimes they sweat, sometimes other things happen, but they're having a direct encounter with the numinous, the otherworldly, transcendent power of God here on the imminent plane of the earth. And I'm using words that come directly from the language of philosophy. When that happens, transformation occurs and people are changed and they are freed from any number of things for which we might throw up our hands in despair and say there is no answer. But God has an answer.
Well, you and I were talking about this in the cab ride down here. I thought to myself, so many people are struggle with same-sex attraction. And the church in the past has made it very clear, nope, you can't pursue that, which is correct. But it hasn't offered them hope.
That's correct.
It hasn't offered them a way out. So you walk around with guilt, which is crippling, which is wrong. God does not want us to walk around crippled by guilt and shame. And yet, what are they supposed to do? And so what has happened in more recent years, of course, is I think the level of frustration that people have had, they said, look, this can't be right. These people can't be having these feelings and be denied to live a life of joy and fulfillment. So the scripture must be wrong. And so they find a way to twist the scriptures to make it seem like, no, this is okay. Go, don't be fruitful and don't multiply. And so honestly, neither of these is right. And what you and I, as we were talking about this, I thought, if I didn't believe that the power of God could miraculously deliver me from this, I would despair.
Right.
I would just say, why should I be a Christian? Why should they do not have answers? It's obvious that they're effectively just telling me, shut up and stop. And you know, and I need more than that. But I don't see anybody in the Christian landscape, hardly at all, talking about that or offering that.
I think you're right. And part of what we're trying to do is offer people hope. I often say the kingdom of heaven is a message of hope, because when Jesus came, he said, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Repent is, I mean, we all kind of have a sense, at least maybe more culturally than by experience, personal experience, but repent has this sense of, you know, fall on your knees, apologize to God, ask him to help you do better. But it begins not when you're falling to your knees, it begins in the mind. And the Greek word for repent is to change your mind. And so with it, there's a shift of mindset that God could actually
metanoia?
Do this. Yeah, that's the word.
Hey, I'm Greek. I knew that. Metanoia. Well, noia, nous, is mind.
Right.
So, yeah, repent has to do with change your mind.
That's correct. And so, you know, back on this matter that you just mentioned of, you know, all of the matters around same-sex attraction, I know there's a huge controversy around, quote-unquote, pray the gay away. But literally, people do get freed of this, and it happens with surprising regularity. And just as when something violates what we expect, it's a worldview conflict. When people are expecting one thing and they hear another, they often screen it out or shout it down. I mean, there's been a lot of that in our country.
But
of
late, the fact of the matter is that you can go wrong in any direction.
Correct.
Just because some people have been miraculously healed from unwanted attraction doesn't mean that every time you pray for that, it happens. And so, yes, to put somebody in a position that, you know, your faith must not be strong enough. This is complicated. So you want, on the one hand, you want to offer hope because it's real. On the other hand, you don't want to act as though, well, if you'll just do this and do this, it'll go away. I mean, the same thing's true of addiction. I mean, Suzanne and I met at Times Square Church, David Wilkerson's church. And, you know, you start reading these stories about people who are just miraculously delivered from addiction to heroin, cocaine, whatever it is, miraculously. But not everybody is. So sometimes God sovereignly does that, and sometimes he doesn't. And then, of course, the sort of unanswerable question is why? Because we want it to be simple. But I think that telling people that this can never happen is as wrong as telling people it will always happen. Okay, I've said my piece. We're done.
Well, I was just going to add to that. As with physical healings, and, you know, it could be anything in the realm of physical healing, sometimes those healings are instantaneous and miraculous, and sometimes they take a little bit of time, but they are still beyond the norm of what we would say medical science would indicate should be happening. So just a couple of weeks ago, I was in Houston, and I was asked to pray for a young man, 13 years old, who had mysteriously come down with some kind of paralyzing condition. He was not clearly diagnosed, although he'd been to all of the kind of top doctors. He was in part of a wealthy family, so money was really no issue. And he'd been in this wheelchair for a while, and he was so bad when they wheeled him in that he couldn't even hold his head up. I mean, it was loose like that. And at one point, he asked his mother, could she put on his neck brace so while he was talking to me, he would at least be able to hold his head up. So it was that bad. Now, again, no clear diagnosis. I'm going to say it a third time. No clear diagnosis. But it was obvious this kid couldn't walk. He couldn't really do anything. And to look at him, my non-medical eye, but experienced from dealing with people who have problems like this, it looked to me as though it could have been a form of muscular dystrophy or ALS. Now, let me be clear. I'm not saying it was. I'm just saying it's kind of what it looked like.
Yeah.
All right. Well, they asked me to pray with him, and I spent about an hour and maybe an hour and a half. I wasn't really watching the time closely, but it was in that range. A little more than an hour, maybe as much as an hour and a half, I prayed with him. And at the end, I said to his parents and his grandparents who were there, I said, I'm not sure, but I think he's going to be okay, but it might be 2 or 3 weeks before it's fully done.
Okay, now hold on. In show business, this is what we call a cliffhanger. You're not going anyplace, are you? We'll be right back.
Hold me deep. Oh, hold me deep. Close the window.
In case you haven't been paying attention, the Biden administration has caused a financial crisis, and they have no clue how to fix it. Oil prices have skyrocketed, and when oil prices go up, the cost of transportation and shipping spikes, leading the prices of goods to rise. And when we're already seeing record inflation, that's the last thing we need. Our economy is in trouble, and you need to take steps to protect yourself. If all your money is tied up in stocks, bonds, and traditional markets, you are vulnerable. Gold is one of the best ways to protect your retirement. No matter what happens, you own your gold. It is real. It is physical. It's always been valuable since the dawn of time. Legacy Precious Metals is the company I trust for investing in gold.
They can help you roll your retirement account into a gold-backed IRA where you still own the physical gold. They can also ship gold and precious metals safely and securely to your house. Call Legacy at 866-528-1903 or visit them online at legacypminvestments.com.
Hey, folks, talking to Ken Fish. Ken, you're relating an amazing story. You know, this is one of those stories. 13-year-old kid, paralyzed, you don't know what's going on, whatever. Okay, so you prayed for a long time, and I'm often amazed at how long you will be willing to pray for people. But you said at the end of this, what did you say and why did you say that?
Well, when we kind of reached the end point of praying, he wasn't healed. He was still in that wheelchair, and he was still, you know, floppy and droopy, and that was it. But I had this sense, and, you know, sometimes I get prophetic words. I don't just, you know, pray for the sick.
What's the difference between a prophetic word and a rhema word of knowledge?
Well, words of knowledge tend to deal with specific facts and figures about people's lives.
Okay.
So another way of saying that would be a word of data. Here's a, you know, your name is Eric.
Right.
That would be a word of knowledge.
Flesh and blood hath not revealed that to you, my friend. How did you know that? That's amazing. Okay, go ahead. So you get a sense. Let's
right.
put it that way.
But a prophetic word yeah. often has a future orientation to it. And, you know, some people are better at it than others because we hear about prophecies that go wrong.
Right.
There were a few of those flying around our country for
By the way,
months.
Those people need to be stoned outside the camp. Go ahead.
So, but I had this pretty clear sense. I think it'll be maybe the what I saw in my mind's eye was 2 to 3, and I assumed it was 2 to 3 weeks.
Yeah.
Well, as it turned out, 2 days later, he was up walking, and on the third day, he was riding his skateboard around like nothing had ever happened. So I had the timing wrong, but the numbers were right.
Okay, so how long had he been in this paralyzed condition?
A couple of months.
Okay, so were you able to have any follow-up with the doctors?
I didn't interact with the doctors at all. I only interacted
with
him
and the
family.
But I'm saying the family,
yeah.
I don't know who the family is, but don't they owe it to the rest of us to go to these doctors and get photos of their slack-jawed response to what happened?
Well, I mean, like I said, this family had access to, you know, Houston's kind of become the medical hub of America,
yeah.
even more than New York.
Yeah.
So they had access to every doctor that you could possibly
right,
want,
right.
and they had run all kinds of tests trying to figure out what on earth is happening here, because it just came on him, and that was
okay,
it.
Okay, so what are we to learn from this story? That this stuff can happen.
It does happen.
It happens.
Yeah. And so medically, there should have been no reason for it to have happened. He was in that condition. The doctors were scratching their heads. But it did happen.
Now, so, when you pray for an hour and a half, and I don't know if you know, you can share— But what are you praying about, or what, is God revealing secret sin, or is it like, you know what, because this stuff is complicated.
Right.
So is there anything you can share? Because in an hour and a half, what do you pray except, you know, in the name of Jesus,
be healed. Well, what I've seen with these complicated healings, of whatever sort they may be, right? We were originally talking about same-sex attraction. We could talk about psychological and psychiatric problems. We can talk about physical problems. There's all kinds of things that, you know, are things people want to address. But if it isn't healed in an instantaneous be healed in Jesus' name type prayer, it's normally because there are issues. And I don't necessarily want to make them all sin. Sin can be a factor, but it's far broader than sin. There can be a range of factors in a person's life. And a lot of what I do is I try to suss that out. And that happens through a combination of dialogue with, the, in this case, the kid,
right.
but also his parents, because they were right there. What was going on around this time? What's the kind of family history? Understanding that. Because many times people, as it were, wander into a minefield, not realizing they've wandered into a minefield. And they trip over a live mine, and boom, it goes off, and now they've got
okay,
a problem.
Okay, so was there an inciting incident that you were able to discover, or is that the kind of thing you can share? Because, look, I have had people pray for all kinds of stuff for me, because
mm-hmm.
people I've shared openly on this program, I've had issues over the years, and the standard diagnosis is people will ask you to tell your story, and this and that, and what year did your girlfriend have the abortion, and did you repent of that, and did you, you know, there's a standard thing that they're going to go down to see, can we find a place where the enemy, where evil was able to get a root in.
Right.
And so that's normal diagnosis, and it's sometimes a lengthy process. So were you able to discover an inciting incident or issue, whether you can share it or not?
Yeah, we had a couple of things we came up with, and I probably shouldn't, especially because he's a minor. But there were a couple of things. And by the way, neither of them were things that he had done wrong. So this isn't he sinned. It was more something happened in his context.
He was sinned against.
Yes, if you want to say it that
way. More sinned against than sinning, to quote Shakespeare, my favorite.
And sometimes, you know, we use this language a lot in modern discourse. People are traumatized, right?
Yeah.
So that can be an origin.
Well, look, this is that with same-sex attraction. You hear, oh, yeah, when I was 12 years old, I was violated by an uncle, and I never talked about it. And you realize, that could easily have been, probably was, where something began, or it was part of that, or whatever. Some people might experience something horrible like that, and it doesn't affect them. They have a different constitution. Some people would be more. So this is complicated, and we have to be honest about fact that it's complicated. Some people would be more prone to, you know, falling in this way or falling in that way.
The other thing that I do when I pray for people, and his was a case of this also, is I'm listening for God's voice. So you were asking about words of knowledge. Sometimes I'll get words of knowledge.
Yeah.
Sometimes I'll have discerning of spirits, which is another gift mentioned in 1 Corinthians 12.
Right.
And discerning of spirits can function in multiple dimensions. You could see things that are good, like angels. You could see things that are bad, like demons. You
and we're
see,
not talking about vermouth kind of spirits.
Right.
So stick around, and we'll explain that when we come back. Hey, folks, if you listen to this program, of course, you've heard me talk ad infinitum about MyPillow and my friend Mike Lindell. Well, Mike has just announced that you will receive one of his books, and the book is Next Level Insane. It is called What Are the Odds? From Crack Addict to CEO. It's his story. You will receive it absolutely free with any purchase using the promo code Eric. Did you hear that? It would be a great time, by the way, to buy his warm and wonderful My Slippers. For a limited time, he's offering 50% off My Slippers. We all wear them in my extended family, My Slippers. Check it out. 50% off. Go to MyPillow.com, click on the radio listener square, and use promo code Eric. You'll also get deep discounts on all MyPillow products, including some overstock products, such as individual towels, blankets, comforters, and much more. Or call 800-978-3057. That's 800-978-3057. And use the promo code Eric.
When you were young and your heart was an open book, you used to say, live and let live.
So I was just saying that when I was praying for this boy, you know, I got a couple of words that helped me understand what was going on. These are sometimes called words of knowledge, so they're data points. And they, words of knowledge almost always deal with present circumstance or past circumstance. They don't tend to be so future-oriented.
So I want to be clear that when you're doing what we would call healing ministry or deliverance ministry, you bring a set of gifts to the table, a set of tools that enable you to do this. Because I can pray for people all day long, but I don't or really haven't gotten words of knowledge or that kind of thing. So this is what enables you to go deeper and to get someplace in many cases. So here you are praying for a 13-year-old. You know nothing except what you see, but you hear from God something. Now, can you share anything that you heard, or is it too private?
Well, again, I don't think I should in a public forum like this, especially given that
nobody's listening to this program. Come on. It's just us chickens. Yeah.
But the point is, I got a couple things. And generally when I get those, you know, pieces of information from the Lord, I want to confirm them. And so, you know, I will usually ask.
Yeah.
Now and then when I ask, people don't have a recollection of it. And they're like, you know, actually, now that you say it,
yeah,
what do you know?
Now that you mention it, I did kill them 10 people. But they needed killing.
But he
wasn't
have
an anything
murderer,
to do
so
with my
right.
limp.
Yeah.
Right. Okay.
So, but what I'm really trying to say here is that we operate in the natural realm based on information that can be discerned through the rational senses,
right.
the scientific process, medical reports, right. interviews with friends, family, et cetera.
Yep.
And then the supernatural side where God intervenes and he gives this understanding. And these are all gifts of the Spirit that are mentioned in the Bible, specifically in 1 Corinthians 12. And they flow together. Now, sometimes there isn't a lot of medical knowledge and we're forced to rely purely on what the Lord gives us. And other times, it's not a great day in the world of the Holy Spirit for whatever reason, and I'm not hearing very much from God, so I have to rely on all the natural stuff.
Right.
But at the end of the day, it's the Father's work that brings about these healings. There's nothing about me. I'm just Ken. I'm just made out of clay. I'm a human being like everybody else. But I'm trying to bring together the best information that I've been able to glean through the years together with whatever anointing I have at that moment.
Right, right.
And that's really what brings these healings to the front.
Well, so you're talking about a kid in Houston recently. Again, this is astonishing stuff. The problem always is we don't have videotape. We don't
I have a video
doctors.
Of him riding his skateboard if you want to see it.
Well, so what? I can videotape people riding skateboards too. What you want is a video of him in the wheelchair and the doctor's testimony.
Right.
Da, 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 da. Okay. So,
but they do have the medical reports, Eric, just to be clear.
Okay.
I said it a couple times. They went to every doctor.
Yeah.
Money
yeah,
was not the issue.
Can, there are people listening to this program, and I know some of them by name, who would say, well, that Ken's just saying that.
Right.
And, you know, those people can go jump in a lake, but I always want to help people,
right.
you know, and you're the same way, so
right.
that's fine. That's fine.
But just to be clear, for those who are in that skeptical camp, you out there in Radioland, there are medical reports documenting what they could, but again, it was undiagnosed. I was clear about that up front when
right.
we talked about this.
Right.
I took a couple pictures of him in the wheelchair before we started because I thought, well, might as well have some before and after. He was not healed that day when I prayed for him, but I had this 2 to 3 in my mind's eye, and I assumed it was weeks, but it was actually days. The second day he was walking, the third day he's riding his skateboard. He's back to playing 3 sports, and everything's normal, and life is good, and hallelujah. All right. We have video of him now after the fact. You know, riding and his family are witnesses, his grandparents are witnesses. And if they brought him back to the doctors would say, well, yeah, I mean, what do you want us to do? Write up a report that says he's now fine. We couldn't diagnose it to begin with.
Yeah.
So we don't know why he was paralyzed or crippled.
But it would also be interesting to talk to the kid and to get
yeah.
his subjective experience.
We could do that too.
Of what that was
yeah.
like. Did the paralysis have a quick onset or was it a gradual descent?
It came on him in about roughly a 24-hour period.
Unbelievable.
Rapid onset, yeah.
Okay. You've been in Costa Rica recently?
Yeah, I went in December.
Okay. And some stuff happened?
Yeah, Costa Rica was – I hadn't been out of the country in nearly 3 years because of this. You might have heard of there was this disease called COVID going on.
You know what? That's politically incorrect. It should be called the Kung Flu Pandemic. That's the actual term, the Kung Flu Pandemic. No joking about that. Okay, go ahead.
All right. So, you know, I'd been traveling within the U.S. and we'd seen, you know, a fair number of pretty amazing things inside the U.S. But I went down to Costa Rica and I did some meetings there for about a week. And I had a team of people who came with me to participate in all of that. And these meetings were extraordinary on multiple dimensions in terms of the healings that happened, in terms of the blockbuster deliverances of people from evil spirits. We had one deliverance session that went on for quite a while. But people were dramatically changed. Some of them in the process of that were also healed of breathing conditions, skin conditions, partially
now without
paralyzing
doing,
conditions.
Without doing sound effects, when you say people experience deliverance from demons,
yep.
Describe some of that. Because there are many Christians who don't even believe that if you're a serious Christian who has accepted Jesus – that you could even have a demon.
Right. So in one of the sessions, I felt led of the Lord to go after something called La Negrita, which is the ruling spirit of Costa Rica, and the entire nation has been dedicated to this entity.
So this is a demon.
It's a spirit, yes.
Called La Negrita, and they know this. In other words, I know when you travel around the world that the islands in different places, they say, oh, yes, the spirit of over our island or the whatever. Sometimes they say it's a saint or whatever it is, but go ahead.
That's right. You know, maybe somebody who's more inclined anthropologically or sociologically, they might call it a regional god or a local god, something like that. But anyway, I just had a sense that this is something we needed to do. And so I had said, anyone in this room who's had has either worshipped La Negrita or was dedicated to La Negrita come up. And so we had, I don't even know, but I'll say around 100 people come up for this altar call. And I say I don't know because I didn't count them. But, I mean, I do this enough. I have a general sense of the number of
people. It wasn't four, and it wasn't 400. Okay, right. And what happened? Oh, wait. We're going to a break. We'll be right back.
Cliffhanger.
Cliffhanger with Ken Fish. Ken Fish, you were just talking about this moment in Costa Rica. You said there's this spirit over the island called La Negrita, and a lot of people had been dedicated to the spirit, which we believe is a demon. And so you call these people up, so about 100 people come up, and what happened?
Well, I first led them in a generic prayer of renunciation, and then I commanded this thing to leave over the whole group. And, of course, I had my ministry team, so they were moving among the crowd. But, like I said, we had about 8 people on the team, and we had around 100 people come up. So we were outnumbered in the human sense. There were a few people of the Costa Rican church as well that were participating, but we did not have a one-to-one assignment, one prayer minister for every person. And when I did that, all over the room, people started coughing, shaking violently, screaming, falling to their knees, vomiting, spitting.
This wasn't just too much coffee.
It was definitely not too much coffee, although they do have great coffee in Costa
Rica. You see, it's so funny, though, because when you share this kind of stuff, you know, this is palpable. This is real.
Right.
And but unless you know these people, you know, you don't know. Maybe they do this in their Pentecostal church every week, and they're just acting out. We don't know. But that was not your sense.
With this group of people, with that particular subsegment of the Christian faith down there, this would not have been normal practice for them at all, not even close.
Yeah.
So anyway, you know, we waded into the fray and we prayed with people for probably about an hour and a half, getting everybody finished and done. And everybody was, you know, really happy in the aftermath of that. Now, we had a number of things, like I said, that went on this trip, and one of the others was we had a big move of prophecy early in the on the trip that stayed with us the whole trip, so there was a lot of what is sometimes called calling out ministry, where you call people out of the crowd. You in the red shirt, you know, the Lord says this to you. And with many of them, as I was calling them out, a few of them I got their names, but I didn't get everybody's name. As I was calling them out, the Spirit of God was falling on them, and they were falling out under this manifest power that we've already been speaking of earlier in this show.
Yep.
And again, these are not people who would have been prone to do that kind of thing, just given their faith tradition.
Okay, I want to say before we continue, we're going to drag you over into hour two. It's like being keel-hauled, but quicker. And but if you don't have the ability to listen to hour two, you can you can go to my website, ericmetaxas.com, and sign up for the newsletter, and we share all these videos in their entirety. I also want to say before we go to the break after this first hour that you teach this stuff, you talk about this stuff at orbisministries.org, and a big part of my joy in having you on this program is to help people understand you can do this too. You can learn about this
too.
You don't have to just go to Ken Fish. Many people have the ability to do this kind of ministry or to get better at it. So if you go to Orbis Ministries, it's O-R-B-I-S Ministries Jeffcott.org. I know there are a number of courses and things and videos and whatever, because I do think we were talking about this last night. My frustration is always that there are so few people like you who are mature in these gifts and who can pray with confidence. And yet there are so many people who need ministry along these lines. So people need to learn how to do this themselves and encourage folks in your church to join you to do that. And if you go to orbisministries.org, I would say that's the easiest way, O-R-B-I-S, orbisministries.org. So don't go away. In hour two, we continue the conversation with our friend Ken.
Star General Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.